The Athens Banner-Herald recently published a controversial piece by columnist Robert Ringer. It's headlined, "The Radical Left Should Be Eliminated," and it reads, quote, "As with ISIS, merely containing the radical left is not an acceptable alternative. The goal should be to totally eradicate this lying group of big government worshippers," end quote. About 75 people demanded a retraction. They say the column's language incites hatred and violence. We reached out to the Athens Banner-Herald for comment and received no reply. We're joined now by University of Georgia journalism professor Barry Hollander. Hi there, Barry.
Hi.
And via Skype, Carolyn Carlson, associate professor of communication and media at Kennesaw State University. Hi, Carolyn.
Hello.
Barry, is there a difference between inciting, in terms of, I guess, liability or whether or not a paper should run it, is there a difference between inciting hatred and inciting violence?
Probably. I think in this case, first off, we have to assume that there was anyone awake at the switch when this column was chosen to run.
What do you mean?
The paper has shrunk. The staff has shrunk. Some of the operations have been centralized to Augusta. It's not even sure if someone even read this before they put it in there. But let's assume someone read it and purposefully put it in the paper. An attempt to be provocative, I guess, in some way. The short answer is it should never have run. You're calling for the eradication, destroying the – you're drawing a parallel between the political left and ISIS. So it never should have run. So the question here is, why did it run? Was it an accident or was it on purpose? I should note, by the way, I looked for this story elsewhere. I found only one other newspaper that ran this column, and it was in Lubbock, Texas, owned by the same newspaper chain.
Carolyn, how do newspapers choose columns? I mean, is there an ethic behind printing controversial columns, or is it all sort of protected free speech that leads to discussion?
Well, I wanted to point out that the Society of Professional Journalists Code of Ethics encourages journalists to support an open and civil exchange of views, even those they find repugnant. And this I'm sure many people would find repugnant. But the First Amendment supports Mr. Ringer's position or his ability to talk about his positions on this. I think the problem here is the word eradicate and what people interpret that to mean. If you look in the dictionary, it doesn't necessarily mean killing. It means destroying. And in the very next sentence, he talks about defeating the Democratic Party at the election polls. And that's not an unacceptable way to get rid of what he calls the radical left. So I don't think he's actually inciting what the Supreme Court calls imminent lawless action, which is not supported by the First Amendment. He's calling for action, but not necessarily to kill the radical left, which is what some people have interpreted it to mean.
Mary Landers, the environment reporter at Savannah Morning News, points out that the columnist labeled equal pay for women and man-made climate change as radical left agenda items. So that brings me back to you, Barry. Are columns normally fact-checked? I know that if I write a column for the New York Times, they're going to fact-check it.
Right, and the New York Times has staff to do just that. No, this kind of column is probably not going to be fact-checked, unless it was so local they knew or spotted a mistake. The real question here is this question of eradication and this draw a parallel between ISIS and the radical left. I noticed, by the way, he didn't call for the eradication of the radical right, only the radical left. But really, the paper has a couple of choices here. Yes, Mr. Ringer has a First Amendment right to say whatever he wants to say on his blog or on World News Daily, where he often publishes. But the newspaper has a First Amendment right to not publish this kind of stuff or to change the tone or language because it's their site, not Mr. Ringer's site. I think in this case, it's a poor choice of words. But if you read a lot of his columns, and I did, and I suggest a shower later, you do get the sense that he's trying to be provocative, over-the-top provocative, and the paper here, if it chose purposely to do this, was trying to do just that, to go over the top and being provocative. It apparently worked. In the marketplace of ideas, you get people arguing about ideas. There were letters to the editor, of course, the one that complained about it, signed by a large number of people. There were letters to the editor defending this position as well.
Let's read an excerpt from that letter that demanded the paper retract the column, and it reads this, quote, "To read in my local newspaper that someone is calling for the total eradication, killing, in common parlance, of the Democrats is both frightening and astounding. Is this the opinion of Morris Publishing Group? If not, you must refute Ringer and his hate-filled, ignorant views and not hide your apology on page 32. If this is an opinion that Morris Publishing actually supports, God help you all." And 75 people or so signed their names to that letter. So let me read the actual dictionary definition of eradicate. It is to remove or destroy utterly or to extirpate. Eradicate is usually used to describe diseases. Like they say they eradicated smallpox or they eradicated a particular disease from around the world. And Carolyn, let me take this question then to you. It's absolutely true that free speech is protected, but what is the responsibility of a newspaper, especially as we've seen in recent days, how much controversial speech can incite hatred. What is the responsibility of a newspaper to check that?
Well, I think it would probably have been a smarter move for them to have, if they were going to run something like this, to have run something countering this at the same time, or like Barry said, to have toned it down because it does, because it is so over the top. However, legally, and the First Amendment protects the free speech right to say pretty much any nasty thing you want to say, as long as you don't send people out into the street to commit law. You know what the, like I said, the
law. Yeah, you can't inspire, you can't incite violence, and that is sometimes a vague line, but it is illegal to incite violence.
Exactly.
I should mention that one of Robert Ringer's books is titled Winning Through Intimidation. And Barry, that brings me back to just the strategy of, I guess, clickbait. And when it comes to a newspaper, that's often done through your opinion page, through your columnist, which is you find pundits who have a vested financial interest in saying controversial things, and that helps the paper flourish. As journalists, what is both the benefit in that or perhaps the danger?
Well, the clickbait danger is, of course, you're doing things just to attract audience, perhaps even the crazy audience. In this case, the paper has a social responsibility to choose what helps continue the conversation. The job of the newspaper isn't to just run something in order to be clickbait, to attract clicks, to run stuff just to make people angry. There's something good about that in making people angry. But in this case, you're going a little, I think, too far. And if you read it a certain way, you can argue this columnist is saying we should kill. We're drawing a parallel between ISIS and Democrats, and we need to eradicate and kill them. And so if you read it that way, it goes beyond being provocative into being almost close to being insightful speech. The paper has a responsibility of informing and continuing the conversation. This kind of column is not a conversation. This kind of column is more of a call to action to get rid of people. And that's where the danger is. And that's where, while the paper has every right to run it, it's their paper, that's their First Amendment right to run it, it probably was not the best choice. And it was certainly not the best choice to run this in a college town, which is a really bad case of marketing in my mind.
We have a tweet from Rabbit who says, considering the article reads more like a modest proposal than a serious piece, but is in fact earnest, probably. Many people may have forgotten the modest proposal, but that was the full title of that is a modest proposal for preventing the children of poor people from being a burden to their parents or country and making them beneficial to the public. That was by Jonathan Swift. So let me bring this back to you, Carolyn, and maybe broaden this out to the discussion of the use of controversial opinions in order to drive newspaper sales or viewership on TV or on radio. Is that should that be a concern to journalists?
Well, on one hand, you know, journalism needs as many viewers and readers as they can get nowadays. But on the other hand, they need to be responsible about getting them. So in that sense, I definitely agree with Barry. They need to be responsible. However, they also need to adhere to the First Amendment. So it's a fine line to walk.
It is a fine. And then the minute that we have left, Barry, what kind of cautionary tale is this for the rest of us in journalism? Because oftentimes reporters, we don't have a lot of interaction with columnists. We don't often think too much about the op-ed page.
I think the lesson here would be don't chase an audience by saying things you wouldn't say to someone at the Kroger or at the grocery store. In this case, this goes so far beyond what the paper, this paper, normally does. And it's a conservative-leaning editorial page. It goes so beyond the scope of what this paper does. And if it is just a chase audience, I suspect it's had just the opposite effect.
That is Barry Hollander. He's a professor of journalism at UGA. And we also spoke with Carolyn Carlson, professor of communication and media at Kennesaw State University. Carolyn and Barry, thank you both so much.
Thanks.
You're welcome.